PetrosCafe.com. It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports. With Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe, on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. We're in that two-week period where we lose our way. Craig is on vacation, but I have brought reinforcements. It was Matt Butler and Rod Babers on Monday, a live edition of the Longhorn Blitz podcast. Tomorrow, it'll be Bucky Godbold in for 2 hours. Friday, it'll be Mike Roach, Horns 24/7 recruiting editor.
Roachy.
And today, it's Horns 24/7 columnist Chip Brown, my colleague on the site, joining me today to talk all things realignment. We've talked some 2021 Texas football. We talked about swingers trailer parks in Louisiana.
Hello.
Last segment. So a lot of good stuff going on the show today. 337-3776 on the Specs text line. Chad Hastings just popped in here. And
Chadzilla
gave Chip a little dap. Hey, so we had this.
You know, I'm like the radio slut in this town. I think I've done a show with just about everybody. Chad, E. Hogan, God bless Sean Adams. But yeah, in this very studio, I did a show with all three of those guys.
Oh, man.
And that's the first time I heard slut on this show.
Well, you know, there's a first, the first time for everything.
Sorry.
Chip, we've worked together for what? So that would have been 17, so almost 4 years now. And I don't know if we've done a podcast or anything together.
I know, because you have that blockbuster podcast with my man Rod Beasy.
We've had the, and honestly, I mean, Rod credits you for helping him kind of get his foot in the door in,
the radio. Rod, game. This is a great story. Rod and I, whenever Sean Adams was out, I would call Rod, and this is way back at a ESPN station years ago, and Mac Brown was not a huge fan of his cousin Chip Brown. And so as soon as Rod started doing more radio with me, he immediately got pulled over to another station. So I'm happy to say that I did play a small role in Rod Babers getting off on the radio.
I think at some point I'd like to see you and Mac sit down and just kind of, I don't know if bury the hatchet is the right term, but just kind of.
Eh. I've tried a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, Mac's a good guy. It got rough at the end. He's never forgiven me for the story that I wrote after the 2010 season. It was a disaster. And all of his assistants that he fired came, you know, running to me. And I wrote the story, and he was, because Mac's a good guy, but he couldn't get over that loss to Alabama, and it hung over his head. And then when, you know, they're talking about bringing in Nick Saban to replace him, that was never going to happen because he's still not gotten over 09.
You know what's interesting about that, Chip? And look, the end of Mac's tenure and, you know, 3 seasons of Charlie Strong and 4 seasons of Tom Herman, I don't know how many years it's taken off my life cumulatively, but one of the questions I always get is, how come you guys only, you know, write negative stuff about the program when things are bad? Well, when things are bad, there's a lot of unhappy campers. And unhappy campers want to get their point across when things aren't going well. And when things are going good, there's usually only good stuff to talk about.
Right.
So it's kind of
I've always said I report the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We're working with the material we're given, Chip. That's kind of what our job is at the end of the day.
And things are moving in the right direction. I've done, I can't tell you how many radio shows in the last week.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what happened to Texas? And I said, leadership. They lost their way. The leadership lost its way as a university. Everyone was in it for themselves at the end toward 2013. And it's taken this long for the leadership to get back in line and get the winning culture back in the athletic department. That's important.
Yeah.
It's night and day different from where it was in 2013. There is a winning, and someone on the Specs text line just sent us a photo of a come and go. Yes.
Thank you, CB.
And so the winning culture is back. they're betting everything on Steve Sarkisian in this move to the SEC. And Steve Sarkisian knows the SEC. He knows Arkansas. He knows their 3-deep safety look and under Barry Odom. And so everyone's counting on Steve Sarkisian to make sure that they get their first win in SEC competition, whether they're in the league or not.
Officially or otherwise. You know, it's one of those deals, Chip, too, when you look at the last decade. People always say, I get that question a lot too whenever I'm asked about it, various radio shows, or what happened to Texas? What's wrong with Texas? And you can say player development, purely from a football standpoint, player development's been a big part of it. But we've talked about it on the Blitz, I've talked about it here, I've written it on the site. When you say the term player development, there's so many tentacles that stretch out from that yes, player development's been an issue, but it's recruiting, it's evaluations, it's being way behind in your recruiting department at one point, having to play catch up on nutrition and how to train guys properly. Something we talked about during the break, I mentioned on this show, injury recovery and prevention is also a really big part of that. Like, how different would BJ Foster's career, I just use BJ as an example, how different would his career have been had it not been for the slew of injuries he's gone through? So, you know, there's a lot of tentacles that stretch out from player development. But like you said, when you talk about leadership, it's leadership within the football program, within the athletic department, from going back to football, the coordinators you hire. It's all of it. And I don't care if you're Texas or whoever, when that stuff isn't right, I don't care what kind of talent you're talking about bringing in. If the leadership isn't there, you're just spinning your wheels.
Right. When the leadership is right, you walk into work every day and you feel forward momentum.
Right.
When the leadership is wrong, you're walking into work every day unsure. That trickles down to the coaches, to the assistant coaches, to the strength coach, and ultimately to the players. And when they see recruits saying no, they start to wonder why. People get in their ear. We're in the age of social media. But when things are moving in the right direction, everybody feels it. The recruits feel it. And they want to get on board.
Yeah. It's not. And then to further your point, you get to the point where, you know, Doriel Green Beckham comes for an official visit and you've got guys on the active roster telling him, dude, you don't want to come here.
Right.
Don't come here. Go somewhere else.
Right.
And that's, trust me, over the last 10 years, that's not an isolated incident where you've had guys on the current roster saying, dude, you don't want to come to Texas.
Right. And right now you've got a guy in Steve Sarkisian who's comfortable in his own skin. The players feel it. Now, Sarkisian and this staff just got to line him up right, put him in position to be successful and start having success. And then that momentum builds and builds and builds because Sarkisian's a likable guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy recruits are going to be able to identify with. They're going to be able to identify with his staff. Now they got to win. Now they got to win. They got to win the games they're supposed to win, and they got to play really close in the games where they're even or an underdog.
Yeah.
And then the momentum comes, the recruit comes, and you get an offensive player picked in the first round of the NFL draft more recently than Vince Young.
Yeah. So we'll keep talking about Sark and the 2021 Longhorns. Specs text line is open 337-3776. We do have another copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine to give away this hour. Snoop, who was our winner in the first hour?
C-Bucks, Charles Buxton.
Okay, nice. So we've got one more to give away before we're done today. And then once we give away our second copy on Friday, we're done at that point. So that's the last time you can get in on getting a copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football from us here at Light the Tower for the very nice price of free $3.99. After that, you got to pay for that thing if you want to get it on the newsstand. I like using the term newsstand, Chip. I'm an old soul that, even though the newsstand really doesn't exist anymore.
I used to write for newspapers.
You've been to the newspaper or magazine section at like an HEB lately or a Walmart? It's like
crickets.
It's like it's half of this desk.
I applaud the magazines that are left.
Yeah. You got Better Homes and Gardens and some of your craft magazines. I saw a copy of Slam the other day. I remember when I was a kid, I used to read Slam magazine. It's a basketball magazine, if anybody's got your heads in the gutter talking about Slam magazine. But Chip, so I mentioned there was, we talk about what's next? Again, with the formality now that Texas and Oklahoma will join the SEC, they've got the number of votes. That vote expected to take place tomorrow with the SEC presidents and chancellors meeting. And again, Chip reported this morning at Horns 24/7 that his source, your sources are telling you, it's a go.
It's a go.
Green light. Everybody's the moving into the fast lane on this. So now we're wondering what's next. Part of that is Texas getting out of the conference, but part of that is what happens to the remaining teams in the conference, and is there going to be a Big 12? And after the Brent Zornman story broke last week, it might have been, was it a week ago today or was it a week ago yesterday?
Wednesday.
I don't know. My days
week
are
ago today.
A week ago today that it broke. It's amazing how far we've come in a week. But when you started digging on this with your sources, one of the things you told as a staff trying to gather as much information as possible, you said you heard that initially there was some talk of maybe a Big 12 SEC merger. And I've looked at everything since then, all the information coming out since then, Chip, through that lens. So when we talk about one conference merging with another, going back to something we talked about in the first hour, when I hear that the SEC has had dialogue, just rumor and innuendo that they've had dialogue with a Florida State, with a Clemson, that Greg Sankey might have his eye towards Ohio State, I'm not just taking that as somebody just pulling stuff out of thin air, knowing what you reported to be fact at one point, and I don't know how that got sideways and we ended up where we are. You can take us through that timeline, but I'm not just taking anything with a grain of salt anymore when it comes to realignment.
Right. I mean, we're headed toward a breakaway from the NCAA, and I used to think it was going to be the Power Five, 64. And the TV partners don't want 64. That's too much. It's too expensive. That's double the NFL. And I've been reporting since 2016 that this is where we're going to end up, and that the money is there.
Yeah.
To equal what the NFL is bringing in. The NFL is supposed to be, you know, bringing in $25 billion a year by 27. So imagine 64 schools, 64 teams, that kind of inventory with the passion of college football. Now, granted, you're not going to get super excited about K-State and Baylor.
To use my example the other day, Pitt, Georgia Tech.
Okay, Pitt, yeah. Georgia Tech. But if you could hand select 24, 32 of the top brands in college football, there's your breakaway. I'm beginning to believe that that's going to be the number. And I think that ESPN, having the contracts in the ACC, help send signals to Florida State and Clemson that, hey, and did you hear Dabo Sweeney the other day say, we need a college football commissioner? I mean, this is where it's going.
Yeah.
And Nick Saban said it. He was absolutely right. I've reached out to Mark Cuban on this. I've reached out to Reed Ryan on this. I'm like, you'd be a great college football. Okay, maybe not Cuban so much, but I think Reed Ryan would be a great college football commissioner because the guy's a consensus builder. He gets the streaming end of it because he's been in Major League Baseball. He understands what BAM technology is all about and where everything's going.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where it's headed. And I'm starting to think it's going to be 32 and not 64. The question is, how do you have to have the brands like Oregon, USC, UCLA, Washington. I mean, in some ways, this is sad. Because you're missing the rivalries. Like, I mean, heck, losing Texas A&M since 2012.
Yeah,
has been. Are you kidding me? 100-year rivalry where they talk about each other in their fight songs. They haven't been playing each other.
I mean, Chip, you've covered the Big 12 except for your brief time covering the Cowboys. You've covered this league since its inception. And I was thinking about this the other day. When this league goes away, I'll never have a reason to go to Lubbock or Stillwater or Manhattan again.
Right.
And you can say what you want about those towns, but there is something
a
little bit nostalgic about, those road trips are done.
Yeah. And it's basketball, too. Remember the triple overtime basketball game that Kevin Durant played in Stillwater? And I mean, I'll tell
you this. If, Texas is going to Allen Fieldhouse this year, if you're a Longhorn fan, get there because this might be your last chance.
Yeah.
For forever.
And that stuff, that stuff makes me sad because I absolutely love college football, college basketball. That's where, like, having covered the NFL, covered the Cowboys, there's no comparison.
Well,
the
Chip,
passion you of
covered,
college.
You covered the Dave Campo Cowboys, so that's
The Lenny and Squiggy years.
That'll kick anybody in the tenders.
Yeah.
Being on that beat for
I
a year.
I covered Ryan Leaf. Clint Sterner.
Oh, it was that year. Oh, man.
Chad Hutchison.
Chutch.
And, hey, Quincy Carter. Quincy ended up at least taking him to the playoffs. So I'm not going to bang on
but he did.
Quincy, but you get the picture. Those were the years. Anyway, college football, the passion, there's nothing like it. I love it. I mean, I tell this story. I went to the Ohio State game. Texas played in 05. I always wear black to games because it's
neutral.
Stay out of the fray.
Right.
Well, I get out of my rental car and it's right near tailgating. And this guy is just hammered Ohio State fan. He's like, "Hey, you from Texas?" I'm like, "Yep." And he's like, "Oh, we're going to beat your bleep, blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Actually, I'm from Michigan." And he's like, "What? What the? Hey." And I just walked off. The guy was like having an aneurysm. But that's the passion.
Look at Chip throwing gasoline on that fire in Columbus.
I'm like, Ohio State fans, come on. Grow up or don't. But it's sad. Some of this stuff is really sad because you lose the history. And look, I feel Baylor just won the national championship in basketball. Let me repeat that. Baylor just won the national championship in basketball. Now, they lost Kim Mulkey to LSU. Kim must have known what was going on. But Baylor's now sitting there going, what just happened?
Yeah.
And Oak State, too. Oak State's president, brand new president, Dr. Shrum. She's
been on the job for 2 months.
Been on the job for 5 minutes, and she's having to, you know, deal with this fire.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I don't envy them being in that position in any way, shape, or form. We'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll come back. If you've got any kind of realignment questions for Chip, any thoughts, comments, specs, text line 337-3776, we'll get to some of those after the break. But I do. We talked a little bit about it in the first hour, but I do want to talk a lot of the comments coming up, Chip, are what do you guys think about Texas in 2021? Expectations, record, things of that nature. Want to get into a little bit of that as we look toward the first season of the Steve Sarkisian era. Chip, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. I mentioned it at the start of the show. As of tomorrow, we're a week out from reporting day. Summer workouts wrap up at the end of the week, so we're there. Yep. Like it's crazy. Like I feel like we didn't even really have between the excitement of a new coaching hire and actually having a spring and then now conference realignment. I feel like we didn't really have an off season.
No.
There was no downtime. There was no dead period.
And now the hype is only going to be heightened.
And for us in the website world, like recruiting opened back up in June. So that was, Mike Roach and Nick Harris did a great job and continued to set the trends in the market covering recruiting. It has not slowed down
it's
for us at all.
It's been a great time to be at Horns 24/7, I'll tell you that.
And it's going to be even better once this move to the SEC is made official. But we'll take a break, come back, and talk Texas football in 2021 and what lies ahead for Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns. Do that when we come back on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Good stuff, Snoop. This is Light the Tower. This is the Horn. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff House, Snoop Daniel, Chip Brown sitting in today. Craig Way is on vacation. So, yes, Chip is back on the airwaves. This is not a drill. This is legit. Chip is here in the building. Chad Hastings said, Chip, that the only qualification he had for you being back on the air, the only edict from upper management was you only got one opportunity to talk about why SMU deserves a shot at being in the Big 12. So do you want to take that and run with it real quick?
No.
I didn't think so.
I think the hope is that they rise to the level of being one of the group of five who could possibly one day qualify for the 12-team playoff, which is why they're expanding the playoff. Don't kid yourself. It's to avoid antitrust and be able to include the group of five, which may be growing, in the revenue. Because that playoff is going to bring in potentially double what it's bringing in now.
Yeah.
So, especially if it goes to 12, it could triple, would triple. And whether it's 8 or 12, you got to cut the group of five in. So that's my only hope, that SMU could one day be the group of five team in the playoff.
Well, Chip, I'll tell you what, the feedback on the Specs text line, a lot of folks texting in saying it's good to hear you back, not just on the airwaves, but on the horn. So a lot of love coming in for you.
Appreciate that.
And as long as you've done radio in this town, a lot of love coming in on text line. You know what? Right now, let's go ahead and typically we do this going into the break, but let's go ahead and do it right now. Let's go ahead and give away a copy of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, our second copy of the day. Snoop. We went caller 16 last time. I don't know how that was for you on the phones, but what are we going with this time? What are you thinking?
Let's go back with 12.
12, okay.
Yeah, for the big 12, you know.
Wow. Snoop's working in there, man.
Caller number 12. Yep. Call the hotline, 447-3776. Be caller number 12 on the hotline. Chip, before we get to the notebook and talk a little more Texas football, something that came up yesterday on the text line when I let everybody know that you were coming in today. There's that audio, and I could not find the audio. And CB, you're probably the only person that might have it, so if you have it, please send me a link or something of that sort. When you and Chad did a show together, you guys got the brunt of some heat from Mike and Mike. I forgot what ignited that whole deal.
It was... Johnny Manziel.
Okay, it was something Johnny Manziel related. Okay.
Yeah.
Because somebody was, hey, can you play the audio? And Mike and Mike were talking about Chip and Chad, and I could not. I looked and looked and looked and could not find the audio.
Yeah, they were like, Chip and Chad, Chip and Chad. What is Chip and Chad?
But you guys had it, talking a little Johnny Manziel back in the day.
Chadzilla is hilarious. He's the Aggie in Austin and plays it better than anyone.
Yeah.
He's loved and hated by Aggies, just like I'm probably loved and hated by Longhorns, which is fine. I think I've pissed off everyone at Texas, but I've also, like, the same people who hated me for the reporting at the time when DeLoss and Mac were getting run out, which was horrible. But you still have to write it. It's happening.
Yeah.
Loved me for my reporting on Steve Patterson as this morale-plunging leader who was totally out of touch. And then he ended up leaving. And then the same people who hated me were like, oh, thank you. I was like, okay. All right. We're good.
So CB texted and said he does not have the audio, but as CB remembers it, Mike Zimmer was on with you guys, and apparently Mike Zimmer was ripping Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. Yep. Zim was the man.
You know, a quick Mike Zimmer anecdote. You and I talked about this a couple of years ago, right around draft time, and Holton Hill, who a lot of people, there were some teams that had like second round grades on Holton Hill before he tested positive for marijuana at the combine. And granted, it's the league looks at that differently now, but at the time it's almost like if you go to the combine and test positive, you flunk the idiot test. And I remember you saying after, you know, he went undrafted, but the Vikings gave him a pretty lucrative undrafted free agent deal and gave him a legit chance, and he ended up starting as a rookie. And I remember you and I were talking about it, and you said, look, Holton Hill has got his foot in the door. This is great. But if he screws this up, if you're a talented DB and Mike Zimmer at some point gives up on you, you've got no hope. And Holton Hill, I believe he had a tryout with the Cowboys when they ended up signing Malik Hooker yesterday, the day before. And I believe Holton Hill's still unemployed, still looking for a job in the National Football League.
Zim is amazing. I covered him when he was with the Cowboys, obviously. And then he goes to Cincinnati, where they only sign people off the scrap heap. So he had, you know, like Tank Johnson and Pac-Man Jones and, you know, Vontaze Burfict. Like and Ray Maluga. Remember Ray Maluga, who couldn't keep out of the fine pit?
Yeah.
And he had the Bengals as one of the best defenses in the league. I mean, the guy has worked with every cast off going. And so I'm happy for Chris Boyd that it's still working there in Minnesota, because Zim is... He's a great teacher, and he's a former, I mean, he was the DB coach for the Cowboys when they won Super Bowls, mm-hmm. and so he has a special place in his heart for the DBs, and oh, man, get Deion Sanders talking about Mike Zimmer. Loves the guy. And Corey Zimmer was an intern for me when I was here at the Horn.
Really?
His daughter. She was a student here in Austin, and now she's running his foundation in Minneapolis. Really proud of her. And Zim is one of the great guys. I just wanted them to do so well, and they could. The Kirk Cousins thing just never went to the top for me. I think Rick Spielman had more say in that, but then they re-signed him. I don't know.
Yeah. Snoop, did we get a winner for the Dave Campbell's Texas Football for this hour?
Yes, Kyle Repka of Leander.
Nice. Okay, so there's our two copies for today. Give it away. We've got 2 days left. So, yeah, I guess so 4 more copies of Dave Campbell's Texas Football to give away this week before we are done with that. Let's go ahead and get to the notebook for this hour, Snoop.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cptours.com.
Chip, let's talk expectations for Texas in year one with Steve Sarkisian. We talked about that non-conference schedule, and we this question was brought up, so I'll bring it up to you. This was brought up Monday night on our Horn Top 20 Roundtable. Again, shout out to Leander Beer Market for hosting us for that event. But Brad Kellner, BK, was the host for that, and posed the question to everyone, myself included, that took part in the roundtable. Do you see Texas as a lock as a top 20 team right now? And my answer was, right now, I don't think so. But by the end of the year, I think this could very much be a top 20 team. The upside is there, and I think the upside resides in where is this team at after the first 3 games. Because, again, like we talked about in the first hour, facing a really good Louisiana team, you're going to go to Arkansas, and again, I think that's more about the environment than the opponent, and then come back and face Rice. If you're 2-1, or if you're 3-0, now you're talking about a team that can legitimately be a top 20, top 15 type team by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I want to see what the quarterback situation looks like in games 1 and 2. And we've talked about earlier in the show, we talked about the trickiness of week 1 against a 10-1 Louisiana team with everyone back, including a third-year starter quarterback, and then having to go to Arkansas to face a team that's picked to finish last in the SEC West. How strong of a hold does Steve Sarkisian have on his players to play to their standard and not up and down to the level of the competition?
That's so huge.
Because that we're sick of that. We've seen that for 10 years. Now, how is Steve Sarkisian in his third go-around as a head coach able to get his players and this coaching staff to play to a standard, their own standard, an SEC standard? How you like that? You like that? SEC standard? And once we see that, we're going to feel a whole lot better. That's why I've said 9-3. I've said be happy if you get the Mac Brown start. 9-3 with a Heisman candidate, finalist, legit in Bijan Robinson. Yeah. Remember, Mac didn't win a conference championship until year 8.
Right.
But he won the games he was supposed to win, and against Oklahoma, he didn't always play close. But he managed everything else as the CEO well enough to get to year 8. Dabo Sweeney, same way. That's, to me, what I'm hoping for if you're a Texas fan. Just have momentum, build week to week. The sign of a well-coached team is week to week improvement. But win those first 2 games, man.
Playing to the standard is something I talked about ad nauseum under Tom Herman. And this goes back to something that I learned playing high school football. You have to get to a point as a program where every week, and I know it comes off as coach speaking cliche, but it really is true because this is the way Nick Saban looks at it. And the elite programs, Urban Meyer, Dabo Swinney, the elite coaches, even though Urban Meyer's in the NFL now, but everybody gets the point. Like, the elite championship-level coaches have always looked at it like this. You get to a point where the opponent does not matter. In other words, you're going to approach a week of preparation. You're going to approach a Saturday, whether you're playing Western Carolina, North Carolina, or the Carolina Panthers. You're going to approach it the same way. That's why you see Nick Saban get hot under the collar and really aggravated when, Alabama went out and beat Georgia Southern 56-3, but the standard just wasn't there throughout 4 quarters. That's the point you got to get to. And I just felt like Chip, one of the flaws of Tom Herman, the reason why they performed so up and down depending on who the opponent was, because I think that's largely how the staff approached it. Like, when you, it's really easy to get up to go play Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl or going to the Coliseum to play the fourth-ranked team in the country in USC as a 13-point underdog. It's real easy to have that us-against-the-world mentality and go in there as a cohesive unit and try to do what everybody thinks you can't do. But there's the two losses to Maryland. There's the Texas Tech loss the first year. There's the last couple of TCU losses. The Iowa State loss, maybe not even so much the Iowa State loss last year, but the Iowa State loss 2 years ago in Ames.
But even the Iowa State loss last year, you're up 10, and you're managing the game fine until you try the fake punt.
Yeah.
And it fails. That's a huge momentum shift.
Right.
To the other team, and you got to manage the game better than that.
I brought up Holton Hill just a minute ago. That first Maryland game, Tom Herman's first game as head coach, they get off to that roaring start with third play from scrimmage, Holton Hill. It's a Holton Hill pick six, and you're thinking, oh, man, this could not be better. And it's like everybody, coaches, players, everybody on the sideline, just put it in cruise control. And then before you know it, it's like, dude, they're down 30 to 14. Like, how the hell, what happened?
Right.
What happened in the last 10 minutes?
Right. And I was told before the OU game in 19 that Tom Herman was walking around practice like, we got this, we got this.
Dude, you could tell it in the media availabilities during that week.
And the players were like, oh, wow, we must have a great game plan. And then Alex Grinch is stunting and twisting his defensive line every play and 15 tackles for loss and 9 sacks. I don't know how Texas played to a one-possession game, because they were so dominated on the offensive line that it's a miracle that they played to a 7-point game. And I'll give Tom Herman credit for that. His teams were physical, and they played everyone close. His worst loss was a 17-point loss at TCU in year one. That was it. Charlie had something like, 12 of those losses.
How you say Charlie Strong and TCU in the same sentence, and all I think about is that 15 game in Fort Worth. Right. It was 50-7. It could have. The final was going to be whatever Gary Patterson decided it was going to be.
And that was the game that Patterson said before the game, we've beaten better with worse. Remember, because he had a safety playing linebacker, and before the game in his like come out the tunnel interview. We've beaten better with worse. I mean, he basically called his shot, and then they go out and win 50-7. Anyway, and that game in Fort Worth, that's the game I want to see Sarkisian work some magic against a Gary Patterson defense. I want to see Pete Kwiatkowski work some magic and get Max Duggan uncomfortable. Max Duggan, for whatever reason, has played his best games against Texas.
I'm telling you, like, that's why I voted TCU ahead of Texas in the media poll, because if Max Duggan can play half of the games like he does against Texas, they're a contender for the conference.
And look at their skill talent. I mean, they led the league in rushing last year. Zach Evans averaged 7.7 a carry, and he wasn't even the main guy.
Yeah.
And Quentin Johnston, a former UT commit, looks like a total baller.
And you've got J.D. Spielman, the Nebraska transfer, for another year. Like, and COVID eligibility is really just going to mind you-know-what me looking at Big 12 rosters. Like, I was looking at TCU's roster then, and I'm like, dude, I swear Tay Barber was lining up with Kelly Blackwell. Like, how does he still have eligibility? You're going to see a lot of that in the league this year.
And they're too deep on the defensive line. Like, Gary, I talked to Gary, Big 12 Media Day. I know when he loves his team, he loves this team.
Yeah.
Now, I asked him about Doug Meacham, his new offensive coordinator. I'm like, why was Meacham the right guy? He's like, I don't know. Y'all will tell me, which makes me think, oh, God. Because that's always been Gary's thing.
Yeah.
And he was not patient with a young Max Duggan. And it cost him his relationship with Sonny Cumbie. Sonny's now at Tech, which is, I don't know if that was a step up or not. But I think Sonny just wanted to get away from Gary, because I just remember after they lost to SMU, Gary had Sonny Cumbie come talk to the media. He never has his coordinators talk to the media. But he was like, okay, Sonny, you explain this stuff.
Yeah.
And Doug Meacham is an interesting guy. He was there when they had Trayvon Boykin. But he's kind of a loosey-goosey guy.
He's a wild card.
And, some people said that Sonny was sort of the stabilizing factor when they were working together. Yeah. We'll see, but he's got good skill talent on the offensive side.
That 14 TCU team, Chip, the stars aligned.
They should have been in. They should have been in the playoffs.
It was like right coordinators at the right place at the right time with the right quarterback that could pull the trigger in that offense.
They were beating the crap out of people.
Oh man, I remember doing a pregame show and actually doing it with Sean Adams, and Sean and I were both thinking, man, because Texas was starting to, under Charlie, they were starting to kind of figure some things out, and they had gone to Stillwater and put it on Oklahoma State, a not very good Oklahoma State team, and we're like, okay, I think they're kind of figuring out. Maybe this could be competitive. And I remember in the press box after the first couple series, Sean and I just looked at each other like, dude, this is the best team we've seen all year. Like, it's not even close how much better TCU is than Baylor. Like, yeah. This looks like one of the top two or three teams in the country.
And how they lost that game to Baylor, and it cost them dearly because the committee was never going to put Baylor in the playoff because of the way that Art Briles scheduled.
Yeah.
And TCU had to pay for that.
Stop scheduling FCS all over the place and maybe you'll get somewhere. But no, so Chip, I've kind of been somewhere between 8-4, 9-3. We haven't given official predictions on the site yet, but that's, I'm going one or the other, 8-4, 9-3 with this team. And I think as deep as this league is this year, let me ask you this, to show how deep the league is this year. Spencer Rattler's clearly the best quarterback in this league. Who's the quarterback that you trust the most after Spencer Rattler?
You know, it's funny, I'm writing about Brock Purdy right now, and, you know, Purdy, he's got to get out of his own head. He scares me a little bit. I mean, after that, it's a crapshoot, probably Max Duggan.
See,
I mean, Spencer Sanders was hurt last year, but even when he was healthy, he didn't progress as much as I thought he would.
I don't trust Spencer Sanders. It's a high reward, but the risk is way too high. I don't trust Brock Purdy week to week. I don't trust Max Duggan week to week, but I think all three of those guys have really high ceilings. Skylar Thompson might be the Big 12 quarterback I trust the most after.
For the system he's in and how he operates.
He might be the guy I trust the most after Spencer Rattler. And then, I mean, Jarrett Nagy might be in terms of maybe not as high a ceiling guy, but a guy that maybe you trust the most. And then where does Tyler Shuck at Texas Tech and Sonny Cumbie and trying to figure out the air raid in one offseason? Like, where does that figure out? In other words, I was told by a pretty prominent Big 12 assistant many years ago, if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you don't have a chance. And with pretty much with the exception of Kansas, Chip, everybody feels like they've got a quarterback. So I think top to bottom, the league is going to be as balanced as it's been in a long time. And we're sitting here talking about the demise of it. That just shows you how good the coaching has been in this league. But the fact that you've got a lot of experience with a lot of different teams, everybody, pretty much with the exception of Kansas, feels like they've got a quarterback. Sark's got two. You figure he's going to have one good one he trusts, whether it's Casey Thompson or Hudson Card. I think if you have a winning conference record, lo and behold, if Texas were to do something like go 6-3 in conference play in this league and this year, that's a hell of a year.
Yeah, I agree with you because I think the top five are all capable of beating each other. And that says a lot. I don't know if the SEC can say the top half of our league, anyone can beat anyone. They can't because Alabama's so far ahead. But I think TCU, Oklahoma State, I think West Virginia.
I'm a big Neil Brown fan. I've said that before.
I am too. And I think that's a tough game for Texas late in the year. I think they get Iowa State. Iowa State plays West Virginia between the time that they played Texas and Oklahoma, I believe.
I think you're right, yeah.
And that's a terrible, that's a great time for West Virginia to get Iowa State, and I think they get them.
So I don't know where you are. I'm somewhere either 8-4 or 9-3, and I think if you're a Texas fan, you should look at that and say, going into bowl season, and Sark had a pretty good year in year one.
Yeah, and the Texas defense needs to make the strides that the OU defense has made under Alex Grinch.
Yeah, and that goes back. We talked about PK in the first hour. I like the staff that he's put together because he is more of a quiet, cerebral type guy. So you bring in guys that have some P&V in them, a Jeff Choate, a Bo Davis, even a guy like Blake Gideon. Look, if you were – Will Muschamp was a big Blake Gideon fan, and as much time as Blake Gideon spent around Will Muschamp, Blake Gideon can coach a little football and be that kind of guy. I like the way that defensive staff kind of meshes together. It's about Pete Kwiatkowski and Steve Sarkisian, to tie it back to what you said a minute ago, Chip, giving Texas the schematic advantage with as many close games as you're going to play in this league. Can those two guys give Texas the schematic advantage that Tom Herman and whatever coordinator, whether it was Todd Orlando or Chris Ash, just could not give Texas in those tight games to put them over the top?
Right, because I think I'm included. I thought Herman was going to come in and bring that schematic advantage,
yeah,
and he didn't. And
we can all go hindsight, but I think the vast majority of people listening to this show right now probably did.
Right, and he's kept going back to quarterback power, and you're going, what are you doing? Everybody knows you're running quarterback power. I used to talk to coaches all the time. We'd be like, well, the one thing you can count on is Herman's going to get in the red zone, run quarterback power. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be more diverse than that. And I love what Steve Sarkisian has done. He has a way of getting guys open. He's every year he's been a head coach, a full season as a head coach. He's had a 1,000-yard rusher. He runs the football to create play action and RPO advantages, and he knows where to put the defensive player in conflict. And yeah, that's what Lincoln Riley is a master at, and now we're going to see if Sarkisian can do the same thing.
And how does Jordan Whittington factor into that? How does a guy like Keelan Robinson? I know you and I have heard the same thing about Keelan Robinson. I've said it on these airwaves. We've written about it on the site. The more Bama people you talk to about Keelan Robinson, I think we've undersold
right
the kind of impact he's going to have.
I mean, I had an Alabama person compare him to Kendall Hunter. I'm like, whoa, Kendall Hunter ran for 1,500 yards twice.
Yeah.
I'll take that all day.
So that's a little bit of Texas football talk. We are running out of time on today's show, so we'll take a break, come back, and close out this edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's the Horn's greatest moments in Texas Rangers history, powered by Lime.
Been a good one today, Bucky Godbolt. Tomorrow, Mike Roach on Friday. But today, Horns 24/7 columnist, my partner over at the website, my colleague Chip Brown, kind enough to join us for 2 hours. Chip,
thanks for having me in.
Thanks
Jay
for doing
Howe.
It, man. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time. Get all of Chip's work, all of our work at Horns 24/7, at Chip Brown 247 on Twitter. Chip, you on Instagram? You on the gram?
Instagram, baby. Chip Brown 247.
On Instagram. And don't forget, search Horns 24/7 anywhere you get your podcast. Click that follow button. Not only do you get Longhorn Blitz, but you get two editions of the flagship podcast with Chip each and every week. Snoop, thank you for all the work you do behind
Snoop
the glass. Stay tuned. Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey coming up next as we continue our live local programming all day here on the Horn. For Snoop, for Chip, I am Jeff Howe. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back again tomorrow to light the tower on the Horn.